Every day we hear about another familiar brand undermining their customers and going, quote, woke. Americans are sick and tired of having far-left propaganda jammed into every product they consume. And for years, they've dumped millions into far-left causes, and everybody had to kind of take it because you needed a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative. Well, there is, and that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the far-left propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responders. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code DANA and ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And let's finally compare it to the Republicans. We're investing. They're investigating. All they seem to do is want to investigate this, that, and the other thing. That doesn't help the American people.
Well,
the contrast of yesterday, a former president being indicted for trying to deny an election, and this president today talking about investing in America, that's going to sink in, and it's our job to make sure it sinks in.
Chuck Schumer. Yeah. Well, I mean, what does that mean, investing? That usually just means we're going to pretend that we're spending your money on you, and instead we're going to just take it and do whatever we want to do with it. I mean, it's, I don't trust any, whenever they say invest, that usually means that it's more of our money that they're taking. That's always what it means. Welcome to the show. Dana Loesch with you. Top of hell. What day is it today? Thursday. It's been a little bit. I know we had a college drop off, so we'll talk about that later. But it's good to be with you. We got to get into some of the stuff. We also, later on in this hour, we'll have Florida Governor Ron DeSantis joining us. Tomorrow we have John Rich. So this is Chuck Schumer saying that it's, you know, all Republicans are doing is investigating the wrongdoings that, you know, Democrats are involved in. And how dare they do that? You just got to let Democrats do what they're doing. And if you actually look into any accountability, then it's, I don't know. They think it's, that's not something you're supposed to do, which is asinine, but here we are. So getting into all of this, the latest coming from, and I'm pulling up a bunch of things here, the latest that's coming from this ongoing investigation, this is kind of, again, I go back to how dumb are these people? Joe Biden apparently, I guess, thought using a different name, it was going to protect him, like, from being found out. Not the sharpest tool in the shed. No, it's true. So wait a minute. I just want to make clear. This all began in the beginning. Biden never had anything to do with Hunter's business dealings. Oh, well, you know, maybe a little bit to do, but only in so much as they spoke about the weather. That's all that was. They talked about the weather. Okay. So then why do we have all of these? I mean, you made money apparently from talking about the weather. And so we've gone from this to, well, he just talked to him a couple of times. He said hi. It's so ignorant if, you know, the dad of the guy who is meeting with these business people just happens to be there. I'm sure it was just, you know, I'm sure it was just totally a coincidence, Kane, that they were all at Cafe Milano at the same time. Who knew, right? I mean, two different whole bunches of, actually, there's more than two. But every single time, I mean, they just like eating at the same place. They're father and son. They're so close. They even like eating at the same places at the exact same time. How dare you question his sweet baby infant son, Hunter? Gosh dang. And Joe Stutter. The hell's wrong with you? Yeah, at the same table, because they're so close, you know, they like eating at the same places, at the same time, at the same table. So it's rude if he just doesn't say hi, right? So I just want to let you know the timeline of where we are, because this is going to bring us to Robert L. Peters. So you're wondering, if you haven't woken up to this headline, you're probably thinking, Dana, why do I care about Robert L. Peters? Who is this? Well, it's Mr. Peters. Bob Peters. That's who it is. Well, why should I care about that? Why should you care, they asked Kane. Because it just so happens, dun-dun-dun, that that's Biden's secret name that he used for dealing with Ukrainian business. What? Oh, yes, yes. So, remember back in, this was in 2015 when he actually, when he pushed for the firing of Shokin during the official, his visit to Ukraine. What position? Can you remind everybody what role Joe Biden had in 2015, please?
He was the vice president of the United States.
Oh, that's right. Yes, thank you. Vice president of the United States. Yes, thank you. So in 2015, that's when he was pushing for the firing of Shokin. 2018, he was bragging about it. He actually said, he told this audience, I'm telling you, you're not getting the billion. I got to stop here because this is so asinine. Literally everything that Joe Biden said and did here is exactly what the left said that Trump did on the call, but he didn't do when you listen to the call. Because remember, they made the transcript public. Literally not at all what Trump did, but it's literally verbatim what Biden said that he did. He said, you're not getting the $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving it. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch, you got fired. That was his direct quote. You guys remember it? So Comer issued a request to get all these unredacted materials in which Joe Biden used the name Robert L. Peters. By the way, do you remember the email? Or not email, it was a text. It was the text in which Hunter Biden called his own dad, Pete O'Pete. Do you guys remember that? Kane just, his eyebrows went to the ceiling. Mm. Yeah, do you remember that? That's when he used, that's when he was, he referred to him as Pete O'Pete. Look it up. See? Now it makes sense, does it not? It makes sense. He called him Pete O'Pete, so it kind of makes, it makes a little bit of sense here. Yeah. So, Robert L. Peters. And, like, for instance, email messages, all these email messages related to Burisma and Ukraine were sent to Robert L. Peters. Bob Peters. Oh, man, I'm made of jokes right now. Just keep it on track, Dana. It's, you know, it's not even 10 minutes into the show. Okay, let's try to keep it on track. Okay, I'm praying really hard. So this is maybe, I'm going to forever now of calling Pete O'Pete. I'm actually, I agree with what one of the commenters said, that they're surprised he didn't go with Richard Peters, but okay. I mean, I'm actually surprised too. So this is, that just seems very, I guess he thought he was going to be able to use this name, and then that was it. So Comer's saying, no, 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 we're not doing this. Turn everything over. I mean, this is, if you're going to have like some, if you're going to do some sock puppetry, you got to A, do it better than this, and B, not be so damn obvious. But, you know, it, apparently the, I bet the defense, and this is what's already floating out there, well, commercial use. How are you using something for commercial use when you're vice president of the United States? You're vice president of the United States and you're engaging in business with foreign entities. That's still no excuse. Is the argument that, well, you know, I used a different name for it, so there's the separation. That's not what they're saying, but they're going to say it. I swear to you. If it gets to that point, that's what's going to happen. He was trying to hide his involvement. He's so uninvolved, Kane, he literally came up with a different name. No, say it. What are you going to say? You're coming up with something smart over there. I'm here for it.
I'm just saying it's just like all the LLCs, like all those 20 LLCs to try and hide the funneling of money. He's now using a pseudonym, or was using a pseudonym, to hide
where that money's going. No, it was to talk about the weather. Kane.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't use a pseudonym to talk about the weather?
Me.
You don't?
No.
What the hell's wrong with you? It's un-American. Okay. I mean, you should have a pseudonym to talk about the weather. I'm just saying. There's so many jokes here. Comer said, this is the National Archives. So when you see NARA, this is the National Archives. They have to archive everything. So Comer wants anything, any document that has to do with Richard L. Peters. Robert L. Peters. You know what? It's so hard. Oh, man, this never is going to end, is it? We're just going to walk into a bunch of Freudian double entendres here. That's all we're doing. It's difficult today. Thank you. So they're looking for unrestricted special access. What was it that they said during, oh gosh, who was that? Mueller is coming. It's all you heard. All you saw on Twitter. Okay, can we say that about Comer now? I just want to aggravate some people and just say that a whole bunch on social media because that's all we heard. It's all I saw. Everyone was telling me, if a leftist disagreed with you, Mueller is coming. For what? So this, they said to further the investigation, the committee, House Oversight, needs to review these documents. I agree. These documents need reviewed. I don't know. Robert L. Peters. What does the L stand for? Loser? I don't know. What is that? This looks really, it does look dangerous. So they had a four point guideline. This is what they want. They said they want all these documents and any information described below. And they said they want them by the end of this month. The first is complete unredacted versions of all documents. Kane is killing me right now. Tell him what the L stands for.
The L stands for LLCs.
Okay.
Yeah.
They want complete unredacted versions of all the documents from this case number. They said, two, any document or communication, which is a pseudonym for Vice President Joe Biden, was included as either a sender, a recipient, copied, or was included in the contents of the document or communication, including but not limited to Robert Peters, Robin Ware, J.R.B. Ware. Three, any document or communication which Hunter Biden, Eric Schwerin, Devin Archer was included, either as a sender, recipient, copied, or was included in the contents of the document or communication. And then four, all drafts from November 1st, 2015 to December 9th, 2015 of Vice President Biden's speech delivered to the Ukrainian Rada on December 9th, 2015. Two and four are going to be interesting. I'm interesting. I mean, for him. Very interesting for Biden. I mean, particularly that we at least know that, you know, he already had, you know, he was already talking about leveraging this $1 billion to get what he wants. The other thing, too, they always said, oh, no, there's an absolute wall between what my family does for business and then my responsibilities as vice president. Not if you're Richard L. Peters, it doesn't. Right. Gosh, can I get over the L, man? Look, can you just imagine being in that brain trust's room while they're strategizing? I'll just call myself Richard L. Peters, Robert L. Peters, same thing. Why the L? Oh, it looks official. We have more on this. We're also going to get into the latest. It's interesting. The Fulton District Attorney wants the trial to begin right before the Super Tuesday primaries. Literally the day before.
Not a coincidence.
No, it's just a coincidence. Can't stop. Right? Just, you know, like a, you know, very coincidental. And apparently there was going to be a Trump presser on Monday about the Georgia stuff, but his lawyers were telling him, are you high? And so now I don't think that's going to happen. We're going to get into all of that. We've got headlines. We got a culture. We got all kinds of stuff. As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free. And it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Interesting story. Do you guys remember the dude who fired a shot in the air and was starting, he was shooting his gun in the air and starting fires during the riots in Kenosha back in 2020? Okay, so this guy's name, Joshua Zeminski. Remember him? Now he's facing new criminal charges for alleged crimes committed last month while he was out on bond. Him and his wife of Racine were charged Wednesday in the Kenosha County Circuit Court with numerous felonies for allegedly attempting to rob a Kenosha man at knife point late last month. They were charged with armed burglary, robbery with threat of force, intimidation, false imprisonment. Oh my gosh, this goes on forever. Unauthorized use. There's a lot of charges. That's all you need to know. He was also charged with felony bail jumping. $100,000 cash bond is what they're being held on. Yeah, he's the guy who was firing his gun in the air. Remember, just the totally perfectly peaceful guy that the left wanted to defend back during the Kenosha riots. Mm-hmm. Charges against Alec Baldwin could be refiled. Duh. As a forensic report shows a trigger that the trigger on the gun had to be pulled. And one of the stupidest developments known to man. Like, they really just figured out now that the gun, you had to actually squeeze the trigger in order to make it fire. Independent testing on the weapon showed that it had to be pulled, they said, the Forensic Service Sciences of Arizona State. Well, duh. It's funny, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed pled not guilty. She's the armorer whose trial set for December 6th. She's up for the exact same charges as Alec Baldwin, but Alec Baldwin gets a pass because of his name. Yeah, they go after the woman armorer, but Alec Baldwin, the guy who hired her, the guy whose safety, it was the responsibility, he was responsible for safety on set as the executive producer. Arguing against that is example one-on-one and not knowing how film sets work and how production works and how hiring armorers work. He gets to walk, but she's got her trial set. Unreal. So they said charges could be refiled because as it turns out, you do have to pull the trigger to make the gun work. Wow. Barbie becomes the biggest Warner Brothers movie ever at domestic box office, even beating The Dark Knight. And you know why? Because it's Barbie. I think that you could have had anybody in it, anybody directing it, and people would have gone out to see it because it is about a worldwide toy. I think people discount that and they're acting like this is a bigger phenomenon than it is. Anyway, it becomes this huge hit. It's like $1 billion, and I think they're already planning for a sequel. So I can't wait to see a bunch of grown women wearing pink talking about going and seeing a movie about a doll. Yay, again. Britney Spears split with her weirdo guy who I think just married her for her money. This is sad. I feel like she's like on this downward spiral and mental illness, and no one is there to help her because they're worried about angering her fan base in the press. People are either scared of her fans or they're scared about their bottom line, and it's just sad. Let's see. The U.S. mortgage rate climbed to 7.16%, matching the highest since 2001. Oh, Bidenomics at work, and U.S. Steel, the first $1 billion company, is nearing an end. Bidenomics all over again. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis next. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast, stream the radio program. You can also watch the simulcast YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347 DirecTV. Joining us now, he's been in the news quite a bit. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis joins us via Skype. Governor, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be back with you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hanging in there. You've been all over the country. I watched you in some bumper cars. You guys are a pretty competitive family. I watched you all like just beat the tar out of each other with these bumper cars out there in Iowa. It looked like a lot of fun. It looked like you had a great time at the Iowa Fair.
Yeah, and that was on the tail end of a bus tour we've done through Iowa. So Thursday, Friday, leading into the fair, my wife and our three kids, 6, 5, and 3, hit a number of counties in Iowa. So we've now visited 38 of the 99 counties, but the kids are able to get to see different parts of the country. And so they've had a really good time doing it. The fair was obviously a huge thing. You know, we've got a good state fair in Florida, and Mark, we've taken our kids there every year. But this Iowa State Fair is the biggest fair I've ever been to.
I'm going to get into some of the how Iowa received you and the campaign and kind of your path forward. But I want to touch on some of these other things as well, because I noticed that people are just excited to get back outside. I mean, after being, you know, locked up for, you know, essentially 2 years, now people are, you know, more people are vacationing, they're traveling. It seemed like everybody's been either going to Florida or, you know, going to, I think we had a ton of friends who went to Alaska this year. Everybody's traveling. They're eager to get out because we've been starved for this. We've been starved of activity. I wanted to ask you, Governor, in looking back, you know, previously at how the pandemic and the lockdown and everything else, how that was handled, how would you have handled all of this from, you know, former President Trump? I mean, you're going to be asked about this coming up in the debates. This is something that, you know, you've kind of touched on a little bit here and there in interviews up until now. What would you have done differently from him with all of that?
Well, I think the lockdowns were one of the most catastrophic mistakes this country's made in the modern history of the United States. And in fact, if you look at all the economic pain that people are feeling with how much groceries cost, the interest rates now going to be 8% for a 30-year mortgage or close to it, and all along down the line, the start of that was shutting down the economy in March of 2020, of turning the country over to Dr. Anthony Fauci, because it disrupted our labor market. You're basically, they passed the CARES Act, which was over $2 trillion of printed and borrowed money that got put into the economy. The Fed started putting more money into the economy, and it set the stage for the inflation that we see now to this day. Obviously, they did another $2.2 trillion in December of 2020 as President Trump was preparing to leave office. And then Biden did $2 trillion for the American Rescue Plan, and he did the infrastructure. So it's been an unprecedented spending binge in response to COVID, and it was justified because the elite said that it was necessary to lock down the economy. But Dana, if you look at how Sweden handled it, they did not do a lockdown in their economy, and their mortality is very low compared to the rest of Europe. So I just think we have to recognize that this was a huge, huge mistake. One of the reasons that Florida's done well since I've been governor is because we were really one of the first states to say, wait a minute, this isn't going to work. We need people to be able to operate businesses, and kids need to be in school, and people have a right to earn a living. And so we kept the state free, and then the tourism and everything has just been tremendous. We're now rated the number one economy, according to CNBC. But what bugs me about how this happened was it was pretty clear as we got, you know, a couple months into this, that the way Florida was handling it and some other free states, that was really the way you needed to handle it. And yet you still had people like Fauci out there saying that he was attacking us in the summer of 2020 for not being shut down, for having kids going back to school. And he was really responsible, I think, for a lot of the policies that locked kids out of school for a whole year in places like California and Chicago. A bureaucrat like Fauci should not have that type of power. And what should have happened is he shouldn't have been coddled. He shouldn't have been able to be out on a platform spewing his nonsense. He should have been fired. And if Fauci would have been fired, I think that would have helped open up the rest of the country a lot sooner than what ended up happening. And instead, Fauci kept on, and he was in there for another couple years doing a lot of damage to this country. But we have to acknowledge that the country made a catastrophic mistake. And as president, I've pledged we're going to hold the people accountable who lied to the public on all these things, whether it's lockdowns, masks, mRNA vaccines. People at the CDC, FDA, they did a horrific job. We're going to bring accountability because we can never let this happen in our country ever again.
Yeah, and talking with Florida governor and declared presidential candidate Ron DeSantis on what he would have answered and what he would have done differently in handling that pandemic. I know some were saying that you were criticized for, you and a couple of other governors were criticized for, just as you mentioned, the state reopening, schools reopening. There were some who were trying to allege that you were shutting down beaches. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Miami mayor, who I think has also kind of gone after you and has tried to challenge you, did he make the call to close down the beaches? Because I have a couple of articles, maybe the reporting is incorrect, that I've been reading from these mainstream outlets, but it seemed like he was the one who was making the call to, at least in his area.
Yeah, of course. So I was getting hammered in late March of 2020 because Florida people were on the beach in Florida. And
there was a guy dressed up as the Grim Reaper, Governor.
Yeah. And I even had people from the White House say, this is a bad look, you got to do this. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. First of all, they're outside. It's a respiratory virus. And so I took a lot of flack for not closing the beaches. What ended up happening, though, is that the media created such a hysteria that a lot of the counties ended up closing their beaches for a pretty short period of time, but they basically caved to the pressure. You had some beaches like Daytona Beach and Brevard County and some other places that never went down that road, and they basically told the media to pound sand. You had others like Pinellas County and down in Southwest Florida. You know, they did it for a pretty short period of time. But then we encouraged them to open that. But that was a local decision that was made. And in fact, I mean, that was the number one criticism I faced early in COVID was that I was not closing the beaches. You had all the Democrats saying that there should be an order doing a statewide beach closure. Even some Republicans were saying that at the time. We did not think it was justifiable, so I never did that, and was happy to help when you know, places like Duval County in Northeast Florida, the Panhandle, Sarasota, you know, as they kind of said, you know what, we need to have all this stuff open for our residents. And so basically by May of 2020, you know, 6 weeks into COVID, pretty much all of that activity was back in Florida. And if you were in Florida and like Memorial Day of 2020, most of the country was locked down. You know, we had people boating, beaching, doing all that other stuff. And so, but it just shows you, as a leader, you can't get swept away by media hysteria, because there's no scientific justification. Even if you're a lockdowner, outdoor activities do not spread COVID. I mean, that is not where you do it. It's usually in enclosed spaces.
Right.
So to take away outdoor activities and force people inside would have been ludicrous to do. So and I just, you know, didn't go along with it. And we ended up getting the local governments to reevaluate some of the decisions they made very quickly.
I want to switch gears here, Governor, and look across the Pacific, because, you know, still related to COVID in a way. China's become our biggest geopolitical foe. I know a lot of people have talked about Russia and Ukraine, and I don't think that you've walked back your position on Ukraine, which I agree with when you were talking about land disputes, and we can get into that. But I'm curious as to how a President Ron DeSantis would handle China.
China is our top national security threat, and it's not even close. And I think that there's other threats out there, don't get me wrong. But China has the second strongest military in the world. They have the second biggest economy. On this current course, under Biden's policies, they're going to surpass our economy this decade in size. And that creates a huge problem, because we've never had a peer competitor in our lifetime that had a bigger economy than we did. I mean, the Soviet Union, during the Cold War, their economy was a fraction of ours. Even the Axis powers during World War II, they were not at the level of the Allied powers. And so this would present for us a huge threat. And then compounding that, our economy is intertwined with theirs, largely because we've had elites in D.C. and in New York who have pushed this over many decades, but it's put us in a position of serious vulnerability. I mean, when you have like a Wall Street executive go out and have to grovel to Xi because they may have said something off color about China, or you have Hollywood censoring movies, or you have professional athletes having to come out and grovel for China, you know, that shows that they wield a lot of power over our society in a way that's just not healthy. So this decade, I think, is the decisive decade. Are we going to maintain our economic superiority? That means we've got to do strategic decoupling from China. We can't just keep sending them all this industry, have everything important made over there. And then they're going to use that to increase their defense posture. Now, they've got a lot of vulnerabilities now. I do think their economy slowed. I think they've got a lot of demographic challenges. I do think Xi is trying to exercise so much control, even doing COVID lockdowns in January of 2023. You know, there is some dissension brewing in Chinese society, but we've got to get better with our policy, and we've got to recognize the threat. Biden does not view it as a threat. I mean, Hunter has made a lot of money from China, and he's kicked probably 10% of that up to the big guy. So it's just a different viewpoint from there versus what I would do. But here's what I'd say, Dana, to just people out there. If China does surpass us and they become the dominant power in the world, that will affect the lives of every single American family. I mean, just you see how much power they wield already. That would go up tremendously. And how would they have a vision of society? They would want society to function on things like social credit scores, where you're evaluated based off whether you're bending the knee to the party in power, and it's not just about your individual freedom. And their vision of society is one that would be very dark, and it would be something that would be totally inconsistent with our inherited freedoms here in the United States. And so this is an important struggle. I think if we do what we need to do to deter them militarily, economically, and if we get serious about some of the stuff they're doing culturally, I think we can win the decade, and I think we can ensure that this is an American century, not a Chinese century. Incidentally, in Florida, we banned the purchase of land by the CCP and its affiliates. They want to get farmland. They want to get land near military base stuff. Why would we allow that to be happening here in our country? And we also eliminated things like Confucius Institutes that they try to put in higher education, which is basically propaganda from the CCP. So we've taken good action in Florida. We'll take more action as president, but this is our top threat.
You touched on something, Governor, that I don't think I've heard from other candidates or other politicians really on either side. When you mentioned the social credit scores that China has going in with the ESG and all of this other stuff, I just think of Top Gun, the movie, and how Tencent, a big Chinese production, was involved in that. And they threw a fit, and there was a fight over what was on the jacket. But that ultimately, when we talk about culture war, that's it. I mean, people are already, they're living it in China. They're trying to implement it in the financial sector. Talk a little bit about, I mean, this is, you know, people need to, it's not just a fight over what is in or out of a book. It's not just a fight over, you know, what might seem to some like some cosmetic issues. I mean, this literally is about the future, you know, cultural regime that could ultimately control your life and where you can even bank.
So this ESG is it's environment, social governance, and it's a relatively recent phenomenon where they say that companies and businesses should adopt so-called ESG principles. You know, long story short, all that is cover for companies and asset managers to be able to advance an ideological agenda. And it's a left-wing ideological agenda. And so, for example, while the top Wall Street banks can get together and decide, you know, they don't want to provide financing for people that have gun stores. Now,
it's already been doing that.
That is not government infringing your Second Amendment rights. But when you have these major power centers doing that, that is an infringement on your rights. They are changing policy. Other companies trying to change our culture. So they're wielding power in ways that absolutely can erode our freedoms, that can change society, and that can change culture. So in Florida, we eliminated ESG from the state in terms of our pension investing. We took $2 billion away from BlackRock, who had been investing some of the Florida pension money because BlackRock is pursuing this type of social activism through the economy. And then we've banned things like social credit scores in Florida and also prohibited woke banking because we have had people affiliated with, say, firearms who have been discriminated against or debanked. So we've now provided protection under state law for those folks. And here's why I think it's important. Yes, Second Amendment important. Yes, some of these other issues individually are very important. But the larger issue is who governs society? And normally, if somebody wants to do things that you don't like, you have an ability to vote them out of office. Now we're in a situation where these captains of industry or asset managers are exercising economic power in ways that are that is changing our culture and our society and even your individual rights. And yet you're never going to be able to vote those people out of office. So it's really a transfer of power from we the people operating under a constitutional system to nameless, faceless people in corporate America or asset managers who have their own agenda, which is going to be much different from the agenda of the average American. So yeah, who
that's why it
society?
Frustrates me, Governor, when other Republicans don't get that, because it's all that all of that is downstream from culture. One last really fast question for you. I know you got to get going. Is Iowa make or break for you?
Well, what's make or break is getting a majority of the delegates. And that's what we're going to do. I think we're doing very well in Iowa. I would not trade places with anybody else. But at the end of the day, this can be a long slog. As you know, it depends on how the field shapes up and everything. We're built for the long haul. We'll be there all the way until the end. But I really like what's happening for us in the state of Iowa right now. And you know better than anyone, we don't have a national primary. You know, you can take like a national poll. That's not the same as what's happening in these early states. And we're focusing on the early states because that's how the process works and that's how the delegates are awarded.
That's a good point. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will be watching on August 23rd, the big debate. We'll be looking forward to it. Thank you, Governor, for your time.
Thank you.
Of course. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this first hour. Stick with us, a lot more on the way. Back in a moment.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
So coming up next hour, you knew the internet was going to try to milkshake Duck, the guy who did Richmond, north of Richmond. You knew that. So I got to tell, why is Wikipedia trash? Because it is, and it's not even admissible in a court of law. One of the complaints about this guy's song, I'm not even making this up. We're going to talk about this. Quote, the song's lyrics revolve around common right-wing talking points, such as inflation. I kid you, I heard literally, did you hear everybody gasp? I did too. I kid you not, hands to sky. That's literally what that's one of the criticisms they're making. Inflation is a quote unquote right wing talking point.
But it's real.
Yeah, it's real though. We're going to talk about that and a whole bunch more. Hold on to your butts. We're back in just a moment. Lots more on the way. 2 whole hours coming up. Plus we have Florida Man.
I am human. I have no dog in the fight. I did a work sample in the system, and when I hit save, it went to the press queue. It wasn't an official document. It wasn't official charges. It was the dry run. It was a work sample. That was the best word I could come up with. It was fictitious. It wasn't real. It didn't have a stamp on it. We've been getting some calls. I tell my staff we just want to be transparent, right? And so I don't have anything to hide.
Good for her. That's the Fulton County clerk, Shay Alexander. She was saying that she accidentally clicked send instead of save. I'm glad she's being transparent about it, but I don't. Do you believe the send or save? I think it's okay. So this seems to be like one of those strategies where you tell a little bit of the truth to mask the rest of the lie in a way, right? Doesn't it kind of seem that way? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this second hour. Or am I overanalyzing, Kane? Right? Like you just put out a little bit of the truth to hide the rest of the lie.
Yeah.
So it's, well, I did hit send and said that's what it was. But it was all constructed and we were all ready because we knew what this was going to be. I mean, it's just like she left that part out. Right? I'm just saying. I don't know. Like I said, welcome back to the program. You can get our discussion with Governor Ron DeSantis up on YouTube, and we'll send out a post about it as well. But this thing going on in Fulton County, yesterday I told you, if you get the newsletter chapter and verse over at Substack, I moved my younger son into his college dorm, and I, you know, talked to him. He's taking advantage of the scholarships. He's like, why not? He's, you know, the ace student and all of that. It's funny because he simultaneously thinks it's a racket, but then is also like, if you're going to, you know, just pay for me to go here, then okay, I'll go. So he's going to take some business classes and learn coding and become dangerous. He wants to be the person that runs the machines. So that's kind of his whole, no joke, that's his whole thing. So, oh, he'll do it. This kid is unbelievable. So while, we were on the long drive back and going over some of these, looking over some of the charges, because I'm like, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe, and I was talking to a couple friends of mine who are attorneys. And the more I read it, the more it makes less sense to me. So in the fog of information, when all of this was breaking and we were looking at why are you using a RICO Act in Georgia, you know, and this umbrella to put everything under. And I, you know, at first look, it looks like it had more specificity than Jack Smith's case. But now I don't know. Because it's like you're throwing everything in the kitchen sink under this umbrella, hoping that something sticks under RICO. So now I'm wondering, does it really have more specificity than the Jack Smith stuff? What lost me was the thing about the tweets. That's what lost me. I could not read, I think it was like, what, page 50 something? I could not read it with any more seriousness after I read that. And I was like, okay. I was trying to be objective, and I was trying to be, you know, like, well, I'm just going to look at this very objectively. I'm going to do my job for you all, my audience, and I'm going to go through. But then after I read that, I'm like, okay, I can't look at it seriously anymore. It's ridiculous. So the trial date, they said they want to do this the day before Super Tuesday. Mm-hmm. That's what Fannie Willis has said. Wants to do it the day. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. But I, you know, just, is that going to help or hurt? I think at some point, it's like a war of attrition that the left is undertaking against, you know, the former president. It really is. It's like a war of attrition. They're just going to wear everything down. I did warn you of this. I said this months ago that this was going to be their plan. It's going to be like this war of attrition. They have the media on their side. Now, I will say, thankfully, I think Trump does have an attorney who is smart in advising him. I told y'all, I will always be straight, no chaser with you. That's why I tell you who I like and who I don't like. Everyone else is acting. If they act, if they're saying that they don't know yet, they're flipping liars. They're acting. Trust that. Some of them are really bad at it. But at the same time, I have this instinctive, natural distrust of all politicians. So I just tell you what I like and what I don't like. With this, I am glad. I didn't like the Sidney Powell. I thought that he had a lot of bad. I thought he had some bad advisors around 2020, particularly at the end. I really did. There were some that if I would have recommended that he go with a couple of other different people, not some of the ones that he had around him. Thankfully, he does have apparently somebody good around him because he was planning this big press conference to go after the Georgia stuff. He put this up a couple of days ago on his social media platform, and he had scheduled it for Monday of next week. And it was going to be in Bedminster. He had said a large, complex, detailed, but irrefutable report on what happened in Georgia. And he said, it's going to be presented by me, et cetera. There's, you know, all of this. And he put that up there. And apparently, word is that he has some legal advisors who said, oh my gosh, no, stop. And they're telling him, don't you dare do it. Oh, please, everyone should say a prayer that he listens to his attorneys. This has nothing to do with liking or disliking him. Again, going into 2024, I want to have the strongest. I want my plan A. I told you this, my plan B, plan C. I always have plans for my plans and backup plans for my backup plans. And because I'm selfish. You want to know why? Because I want to be left alone. I want my taxes to go down. I don't want to have to give as much as I have to give to the Department of Treasury so that we can launder it for Joe Biden over in Ukraine. I want to be left alone. I mean, I could sit here and act like I'm done. First and foremost, I'm doing it for me. I love me. Love me. And I also love my country. But I love me. And I just want to be left alone. So I'm looking at the best plan going forward. And I want to make sure that my top three contenders, I want to make sure I'm not where that I don't want them to be bogged down by stupid errors of their own creation. So he needs to listen to his attorneys. Oh my gosh, please pray that he's listening to his attorneys, because he'll walk into something. I feel like it's bait. Don't you? I feel like they're baiting him to do something because they know that he does. They know that he goes out there and he just, you know, goes and talks and he does. And that's fine in any other instance except for this one. Because they're waiting for you to make a mistake, or they're waiting for you to say one thing that they can use, whether it's innocently said or not. One thing. I mean, for crying out loud, you guys remember, we played it live January 6th. He went out there and he was like, go home peacefully. I mean, I don't know how much more straightforward you can be. Go home peacefully is kind of the opposite of riot the hell up, right? I mean, it seems pretty opposite. And then they're like, oh, he's inciting a riot because he told people to go home peacefully. So if that much can be twisted, and then they can try to, with their weaponized agencies, indict him for that, then who's to say what they wouldn't go after if he decides to hold a free willing press conference? There are times you have to know when to play to your strengths, and you have to allow also the other people who you hire for their expertise to be able to play to theirs. And if they're telling him, look, dude, now's not the time, stop. He needs to listen to him. I mean, I'm sure he wants to hold a press conference because he's running for president. He wants to be able to do this. His attorneys are like, you can't. So it may not happen. Do we know the latest word on that? I don't think we do. It may not happen. But that it's like I said, they're trying to prosecute this war of attrition. And it is, he cannot play into it. He's not going to be able to play into it. Get into some of this other stuff. I want to get some of this cold. I told you about this story, and I wasn't joking. The guy who did the Richmond, north of Richmond. And it is just insane to me how the way that Richmond, north of Richmond, the song that just exploded, Oliver Anthony is the guy who was recorded singing it. His criticisms, and they're trying to put this on Wikipedia as though it's gospel truth. Wikipedia is garbage. I've told you about this. The people who edit Wikipedia, they hate conservatives. They hate me. Oh my gosh, they hate me so bad. There's so much stuff that is not even remotely true. Like for me, on my Wikipedia stuff, it's not even, Wikipedia is inadmissible in a court of law. Case in point, when I came out with, I guess it was my third book, they were not going to allow me to put my third book up there. And we found out because my publisher tried to add the third book, and they're stupid busy. But these people, they sit around and they get Democrat welfare, and all they do is fight on Wikipedia. They actually fought with my publisher, and they would not allow them to put my third book on. And they kept saying, well, it's because you need at least three articles saying that she wrote it. And it has to be from sources we like. I'm not kidding you. That was like the discussion. My publisher sent it over and they were like, we just wanted you to see how ridiculous this is. Crazy stuff. But they'll allow stuff that's entirely fraudulent, like not even remotely true, to be put up just because a couple of progressives say it. So it's garbage. The reason I bring this up is because they're going at this guy, this Oliver Anthony. So for instance, I guess some stupid progressive decided to write a piece saying that inflation is make-believe. So they're criticizing Oliver Anthony and his song, and they're saying, quote, the song's lyrics revolve around common right-wing talking points like inflation, high taxes, child trafficking, and welfare abuse. So these are all things that are apparently, did you know child trafficking is apparently a right-wing thing that's just made up? Did you know that?
Just made up, huh?
Steve, would you like to ask your question? Steve, I can hear the sarcasm in his voice on Slack. I can hear it. He didn't even say nothing. I can hear it.
If that's the song you want to go after for its lyrics, I mean, can you look at any rap song ever? Like, they don't listen to that type of stuff?
Apparently. I mean, I would love to know what these critics actually listen to. But yeah, they're saying, oh no, high taxes, it's a right-wing talking point. And oh, the inflation is a right-wing talking point. Welfare abuse is a right-wing talking. I mean, I went and I looked, because apparently the editors are fighting over it. And I was looking at their citations. So you have, it's like, I don't know, like Slater Salon, one of the progressive S sites. They're actually writing that, and this is getting cited. And they're trying to say, no, child trafficking isn't real. This is what right-wingers made up. Oh my gosh. Talk about being so desperate to own the other side that you're willing to overlook such depraved evil. Oh my gosh. Can you reach people like this? This brings me to my next question. The people who get this politically indignant, can you actually reach those people?
No.
Because I've given up.
Yeah, you can't.
Like, the people who are genuinely curious, those are the people I care about. These people, it's like, have you ever seen that, I'll be quick, the movie Warm Bodies? You should watch it. It's a zombie movie, but not in the way you think. It's amazing. There's a difference. There's the zombies, and then there's what they call the bonies. The bonies have lost their humanity so much so that they can never, ever find a pathway back to it. The zombies aren't yet all the way gone. And as long as they see humanity and experience kindness and love, then they find a pathway back to humanity. That's kind of what it is.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, brazen thieves, according to New York Post, ransack a Nike store in Los Angeles in front of shocked shoppers. A trio of thieves caught on video pilfering bags of merchandise from an East Los Angeles Nike store just over the weekend. This is one day after $300,000 in stock was stolen from a nearby Nordstrom. It was one man, two women. They entered the Nike community store and began grabbing whatever they could in full view of other shoppers. Because, see, they don't go after anything that's under a certain dollar amount. They just let it happen. And in fact, they were so brazen and just nonchalant about their theft that when the bag spilled open, they had another one repack the boxes that fell out of the bag before they just walked out of the store. I mean, they weren't in a big old hurry at all because there's no penalty. None. This sounds like a horror film. Dogs transplanted a pig kidney. It sounds like the start of a horror film. I think it's a pig kidney, but like, when does it? I don't know. They did transplant a pig kidney into a person a month ago. It's still working, but a pig kidney. Does it work? I mean, can it work? Is that gonna? It's Wall Street Journal. They said that it's still working. It's an experiment in a brain dead person, part of a push to develop animal organs for people, a genetically modified pig kidney. I don't know. I have cancer, or to cancer. This is a headline. I have questions, but I don't know. Here's my headline. Many cancer drugs may end up doing absolutely nothing for patients, according to a study.
Oh, great.
Wow. We're going to come back to that because that's kind of a big one and we're running out of time. But they're talking about cancer diagnosis rates and drugs and all this stuff. Whew. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
This is that one song that has exploded since last week. The Rich Men North of Richmond. And it's not like a manufactured phenomena. It's an organic one. And it really startled the left. But it also kind of picked a bit of infighting on the right as well. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour. And that song, I mean, I told Kane, I'm like, man, that's like a modern day Bob Dylan. Because I thought it was a clever song. It was very well done. The guy's name is Oliver Anthony. Well, that's his stage name. I mean, he's has his name. But they're... was this piece that came out on NRO. And I understand what the author was, I understand what he was saying. But he was attacked for being callous in response. So it was Mark Wright over at National Review who said that in a world full of Nashville pop country sludge, Anthony sings with an authentic passion, and people were instantly taken with his raw and raspy voice. And, you know, he just came out of nowhere. And it's a great American story. So that's the first part of it. That's one of the reasons why people love it, because no one loves a great American story more than obviously everyday Americans. I mean, there's two things that are just distinctly American. The great story of coming out of nowhere from nothing and the great comeback. These are two uniquely, I think, very uniquely American things. And they're woven into our history and our culture and our iconography. So Wright has saying, he goes, it's a great American story, but I don't understand the adulation on the right for this song's message. And he cites a portion of the lyrics, saying Anthony sings, quote, I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for BS pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away, drag back home, and drown my troubles away. Wright continues with his piece, writing, quote, my brother in Christ, you live in the United States of America in 2023. If you're a fit, able-bodied man, you're working overtime hours for BS pay, you need to find a new job. He goes, there's plenty of them out there, jobs that don't require a college degree, that offer good pay, especially in a tight labor market, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes, there's a good paying job out there for you. Go find it. And he goes, and if you go home and spend all night drowning your troubles away, you know, my friend, that's your fault, not Washington's. Not that Washington is helping any. It's not. But when we waste our lives, it's still our own fault. And then he goes through the different portions of his lyrics. And Wright, understandably, got a lot of, you know, he got a lot of people that came at him over it. And he wrote this piece defending himself, saying it's not condescending to speak the truth. Came out on Monday. And he said that he's neither callous nor indifferent. And he said he wasn't attacking him personally. He says, I just called the epidemic of, you know, overdoses, etc. and all that. And he was like trying to reinforce what he was saying. But here's the thing. It gets into, because he very much is like this Appalachian Bob Dylan kind of. He says you can go out and fix it and you can go and you can change it. But I feel like part of Wright's problem and what people are responding to is that he presupposes that because you can fix it, then you also solely created it. Now, I get that he adds in there, well, Washington doesn't help, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that he's missing a bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is that it's actually not just, it's not entirely, yes, it's people complaining about, or it's a song that is getting into kind of the, I guess, a hopelessness that seems to be so pervasive and something that blue-collar Americans have been reacting to. But it's not all of everyone's own creation either. I want to go to touch a minute for lockdown. Do you realize the drug epidemic that has been fed and fueled and expanded by lockdown? That's not anything that people did to themselves. It is something that the government, Republicans and Democrats, did to people. And when people tried to stand up to it and resist it, they were literally arrested. I mean, businesses were closed. People lost livelihoods. I think to miss that this song particularly comes on the heels of something as major as that is incredibly tone deaf and blind. Yes, people are the captain of their own lives. And when he talks about being overtaxed, you know, he was criticized for that. But we are overtaxed. You're punished for being successful in the United States. I paid six figures in taxes. I mean, it's insane. the jobs I could create, the things that I could do. It is, you absolutely are. You know, you there's a lot of things that people are up against and they do feel hopeless. And we do live in a society where if you speak out and you disagree, then you're targeted, just like this guy's being targeted. I don't think that right over at National Review, I don't think that he wrote it purposefully to be mean. I think he was trying to disagree, you know, because everybody has to have a take or you don't mean anything. You can't, are you really participating in national conversation if you don't have a hot take? Isn't that kind of the message anymore? What's your take? Do you have a hot take? It's like it was almost like he could not really fully identify with the message that was coming across in Anthony's song. So he decided in order to participate in this conversation, here's his hot take. That's kind of how, did you, am I being mean? Because I feel like that's what I got out of it. He says, it's not condescending to speak the truth. He goes, for the record, I'm not a rich man living north of Richmond. And he talked about roughnecking in West Texas oil fields. That's fine. I get it. But not everyone also is in that same position. Not everyone. And I say this as someone who also came from nothing. You have to realize people really feel downtrodden. This guy's able to have enough time right now to write columns for National Review. He's able to write about songs and his interpretation of their meaning. Everyone else out there that he's, the people in the group that he's criticizing, these are people who are just trying to make ends meet. And especially in a time when these are jobs that in industries that government, our current government, is trying to end. Trying to ship overseas to China. I mean, people, I just feel like it was, I feel like he came down on the guy too hard. And it was like he was blame. I mean, the guy's talking about work and he's working his butt off. And he's like, well, you need to go find a new job, my friend. Yes and no. It's not that easy, dude. It's not that easy. What did you think of it, Kane? That criticism of him?
Yeah, I mean,
of the songwriter, Anthony.
Aside from it being too harsh, I think he was missing the point of all of it. I think that this guy was pointing to way more than just his job or whatever he was making. He was making a much larger point. And yeah, him dismiss, and the when I say him, I mean the article writer, just saying, well, Washington doesn't help, is kind of a dismissive way to look at it. Washington is the creator of a lot of these issues. They are the reason. It's the hurt and rescue of the United States. That's what they do. They hurt you, and then they go on TV and tell you how they'll help you.
Yeah.
And it's just gotten to the point where it's just a money-sucking entity now. That's what our government is.
Yeah. The other thing that I think that this misses, too, is, I don't know how old this guy is, this Oliver Anthony. He's probably what? I wouldn't say he's over 35. Yeah. You're in a world that, when you're born into it, is set by the actions and consequences of a couple of previous generations. I mean, he's working, he's in, Farmville, Virginia. You know, he talks about working all day and, you know, all of this stuff. You're in a society where his line of work has been, you know, degraded and looked down on, and people have really just like rolled their eyes at the trades and skilled workers like this. Now they're finding out, like, really to their own, you know, detriment, how that was stupid to do so. In a society, he didn't create the society that devalues life to the point where we have child trafficking. I mean, this guy hadn't been alive on this planet. None of us have at this point. So in a way, yes, you're culpable if you don't act to change, if you don't participate, you don't try to change things, even at a local level, everything is local. But at the same time, you can't sit here. I think it's unfair, and I think it's obtuse to blame someone for a cultural shift that began before they even entered the world. I mean, look at right now. Why is it so expensive? Why can't Gen Z and baby millennials buy houses? Is it because they helped create that financial situation nationally? No. Now, if you're voting Democrat, then yeah, especially with what's been proposed, the nationalization of student loans, Fannie and Freddie. Yeah, actually, then you kind of did. And I say that not to be a jackass, but I'm just saying you literally supported the party that did to housing what they did to student loans. Like, you, I don't understand this. This has nothing to do with party. It has to do with cause and effect at this point. They didn't create that, though. That was their parents. And I will say, in certain respects, their grandparents. Not acting makes you culpable. And I think that then, you know, you can get a little criticism. But this guy is seeing into something that speaks to so many people. And because it was organic, I think it scared the hell out of the left. That's why they're trying to cancel him. They're trying to find anything they can on this dude, going after on Wikipedia, everything else. I don't know, I just felt it was really tone deaf, that editorial. And I think that it underplays the destructive role that government has in society. I mean, this guy did not create the type of environment where the family unit, which is the building block of any free society, is being deconstructed, devalued, and is under attack, not just culturally, but also by policy. Yes, by policy. You know, there's only so much that a person can do fighting against the government and its media, its weaponized agencies, its surrogates, et cetera, et cetera. So you can kind of get the gist of his soul a little bit here. It's frustrating. And yeah, and he said the internet is parasitic and that it fuels division. I think really social media almost more than anything. Here's the dark side of the social media phenomenon that not a lot of us, I think, when it first kicked off back in, what, the early aughts, saw immediately. It's this huge town square. Go with me, you know, for the most part, better, best way to describe it. But it's turned into the longhouse. Honestly, it really has. And like I said, everybody has to have a hot take. This created that. Now it's the measure of your existence is felt by how present you are in that town square, in that longhouse. What is your take? What's your take? Having to have a take has made everybody dumber. Stop. I like the song. I don't have anything negative to say about it. I think he's speaking from his heart. I think he's touching on, you know, kind of how frustrating it is when you're one person and you're looking at the Goliath that is the government working in tandem with propaganda media. And you're wondering, how can I have an effect? What can I do? You know, showing up and doing my job every day and working, it's not changing anything. You know, I'm doing everything that I was raised to, this is what a good man does. I'm doing everything that I was raised with, everything that I was told. This is all the things to do to be a good man. Okay, well, I'm doing all this. And it's not having an effect. So what's next? Because see, when you have the family unit devalued and all of this other stuff, it also affects people's roles within the society. And that's one of the other things. I feel like this guy did a miles wide, inches deep examination of this song. Because it gets into that as well. I think it touches on that without actually spelling it out in you know, for the people who read with pictures. There's a lot that, I think that song is a class, honestly. Because there's so much stuff that's said about the working man, but it's not about the working man. Do you realize that that's essentially what you're talking about is the soul of a republic? And it's saying this is, you need to do some soul searching. And the same society that has devalued what has been contributed here, you need to do some soul searching. I don't know. I feel like it, can I be honest? I feel like it was a dumb editorial. I don't even know why the guy wrote it. He created all of this controversy for nothing because he had to have a take.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I got to understand. I'm trying to understand this article. It says a Florida man hurled a rock through the windshield that hit a driver in the face during a road rage fit. And he threw this rock at the victim's vehicle. He was charged with throwing a missile in the vehicle. These two drivers, they had a road rage. They were traveling eastbound State Road 100. And one guy was driving a Ford F-150. The other, did you just have a rock with you? I'm trying to understand this. It was probably like a golf ball sized rock. I'm like, how does that even work? Anyway, it hit the guy in the face. And he was taken into jail, criminal mischief, simple battery. He was released from Flagler County Jail after posting $16,500 bond. That's crazy. Guys, don't get that. Like, stop. It is not worth your freedom, your life, your money to, like, get upset over it. Just stop. This guy is GOAT. Oh, my gosh. A Florida man. I can't watch his video. I don't like getting around in, like, tall grass with snakes. This Florida man caught a massive 16-foot python with his bare hands. His actual bare hands. A young man. It's a teenager. He caught this thing. It was one of those big giant Burmese pythons. Jack Cronin, 18 years old, his first ever catch. That's your first catch. Can you imagine going out? All these other cats have been going out, and he immediately gets a 16-foot-long Burmese python because they have to hunt. They're invasive. So he's gotten a lot of national attention. It was the Florida Python Challenge. It's a competition to remove the invasive snake because they're destroying the Everglades. And so he caught it barehanded, 16-foot-long. The video is giving me the willies. Anyway, congratulations to Jack Cronin. Third hour coming up.
I want to say one thing to your children. I know some really great ice cream places around here. And Daddy owes you. Yeah. So talk to me afterwards.
No, don't talk to him afterwards. He's going to smell you or something. That's weird. Oh, boy. Yeah, Joe Biden did not have a good couple of talking days. Oh my gosh. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. I mean, he's apparently going to be going to Hawaii, correct? But they were waiting. They're getting a timeline together, etc. But this is only after, however, they received so much criticism about their response. Look, this is Biden's Katrina. It really is. And look at the way that the media, this is not whataboutism. Whataboutism is the last refuge of people who disdain accountability. It's such a startling difference for those of us who remember what the coverage was like for, you know, Hurricane Katrina. I mean, my gosh, they acted like, I said this last week, they acted like George W. Bush went down there and stuck his toe in the Gulf, and then it created the storm. That's what they acted like. Listen to this. Kane has this audio because he was asked by a reporter. I guess they haven't briefed him on his trip. Listen to this.
Can you tell us about your Hawaii trip, sir?
No, not now. I'm going to be leaving. I'll be there on Monday.
Why is it important that you go?
Sir, on the family issue. Thank you, Mr. President.
Can you tell us about your Hawaiian trip, sir? No, I can't.
No, not now. I'm going Monday.
Going Monday. I can't tell you. There it is. Okay, well.
Compassion.
Such compassion. He'd had a video that he released. Did you see the video that he came out with? Where he taped this video for Hawaii residents, and it just seemed weird. Even in a video statement, it was weird. He seemed not healthy. He didn't have like a live. I would just think that even it would be worth having a live address. How many? It's like over 90 fatalities, and they constantly keep changing the fatality count because they keep finding, sadly, more victims. The devastation is horrific. And it seems like I just feel like they're afraid to address it. Case in point, Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about this. Audio soundbite 17, she was like, yes, questions should be asked, but listen.
So I want to know I know it's a delicate time, but has there been discussion from the president about some of these issues that have come up where there wasn't good preparation and there weren't good resources put in place before this that may have been able to prevent at least some of this disaster?
So, Sarah, those are incredibly important questions to ask, and they should be asked. We are certainly want to make sure that we get to the bottom of what happened here and understand what happened. I understand that we've seen the reports, obviously. I understand the state attorney general has opened up an investigation, and we want to make sure that we get to the bottom of exactly what happened leading.
They do. Do they? Because it doesn't seem like they do. They kept saying, oh, well, it's, you know, it's just all this, it's climate change, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe it's they want to focus on everything else because they don't want to focus on the policies that have helped create this stuff. Because remember, it was Hawaii Electric that a lot, they have three different firms investigating this that say that there was caution given to them about turning off power because you had these hurricane force winds coming in from Hurricane Dora, 70 miles per hour, very dry, et cetera. That wasn't climate change. It was like a once in a lifetime storm. I mean, there's there's been a lot of criticism too with the way that the state has been handling the citizens over there and the aftermath of this, which I'm sure there's, you know, going to be a lot of. Kane was posting stuff or sharing tweets of people saying that they were closing any donation centers that weren't like government sanctioned or something like, and again, that's just some of the speculation from social media, but it seems like the response has been botched, to put it lightly, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have some audio.
Yeah.
I have some audio from a police officer who was rolling up on one of those donation centers that are not government sanctioned and telling them that it's over and it's the powers that be, if you want to hear that one.
Yeah, listen to this. Now, the excuse always given is it's for your safety, it's for your own good, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, the death toll, they have it as 106 now, because they're still identifying victims. They flew in the guy who worked with identifying victims of 9/11 and has worked on a number of serial killer cases to help identify the victims that they're uncovering in Maui. But he says it's so difficult and it could take years. Because some are, the remains are beyond any recognition of any sort, which is horrific. So this, you know, you have this response. The locals have been just blasting this. I was looking at a couple of different pieces where Lahaina residents were infuriated, not with the response, but rather the lack of response. And the way that all of this has been handled, especially with, you know, they talk about, they mentioned law enforcement, they mentioned, you know, this and that. But they said that they didn't want Joe Biden to go there because what is he going to do? He's just going to try to look good in front of cameras. And these are people who, again, this is a Democrat state. It's been hardcore blue. I don't think they've ever voted for Republicans. But these people are saying, we've paid all these years for these services. You know, we paid this much in tax. We paid this much. And then now we're told, oh, well, you know, where's the support? They said we don't have any federal support. None. Like there was, do you know that when the president was, he gave the speech in Milwaukee, what was it, last week? And apparently he forgot the name Maui. He literally forgot to say Maui. And he said, quote, the one you see on television all the time. That's literally what he said. You can't make this stuff up. So he's going on Monday, I guess, to view the devastation in Maui. But he's in Lake Tahoe now. He's on vacation in Lake Tahoe. He had a 14-day vacation. And then he came back and went on vacation in Delaware. And then he's on vacation in Lake Tahoe. He's been on vacation for over a year. And he didn't interrupt his Delaware beach rest to say anything about this. None. Can you imagine if Bush did that? Can you imagine? Yes, it's completely appropriate to say this. And when he finally addressed it, he was like, well, I got to talk a little bit about Hawaii. Oh, my gosh, we're so sorry that we're making you talk about Hawaii. Oh. And then he referred to Maui as the Big Island, which is, I guess, like he didn't. Wow. What? That's not the Big Island. And then he forgot Maui's actual name. I don't know. This is just I think this guy, I think he, some were saying that he has Alzheimer's, some were, remember all the garbage they gave Reagan? This is, there's no comparison. And Reagan didn't even have anything. I mean, I was there at Rancho del Cielo, and I got to meet his Secret Service assigned agent who got the job because he was the only one who could ride as well as Reagan. And I mean, he didn't show any. I mean, he was out of the White House long before, and they acted like they tried to retcon his history. Oh well, you know, maybe when he was still in the White House, Joe Biden can barely form a sentence. You can't sit here and tell me without any partisanship that this guy is well and that he's able to actually do his job. He doesn't do his job. I don't believe that he shows up at the White House and does a single damn thing. I think he's just a figurehead for the people who are actually calling the shots. We didn't elect the people who are calling the shots. I mean, he's just the avatar. He is not well. He can't even. Can you see him in a debate? Oh my gosh! Can you see that? Can you even imagine possibly what that would look like? It would look like elder abuse, unless it's with another, you know, almost 80-year-old boomer. But can you imagine? Speaking of which, 2024, the debates are coming up on August 23rd. Trump has not signed the loyalty pledge. And I got to express, I don't care what you think about 45. This is neither here nor there. You can't demand loyalty from someone if you don't want to give loyalty in return. And we have primaries for a reason. We are not monarchists. We do not bestow such entitlements upon people. They have to work to earn your vote. Don't devalue yourself and think that you are a servant instead of a citizen. Or forget your place in this republic. So we have this primary, and so far Trump hasn't signed the loyalty pledge, and I think that that means what, he's not going, but he's going to send surrogates to the spin room. Y'all know what the spin room is? So in debates, when you have these candidates that show up for debate, you have all the press that's corralled into one area. Usually it's like pretty far away from where the debate stage is. They have the live feed come in. They all bring their, they all set up. It's like a fair. They all set up their little booths. And then what happens is after these debates, they send the candidates or candidate surrogates or whatever down, and they have their little stick that says the candidate's name, and they go and they give interviews and they basically battle it out at these different networks. That's the spin room. They call it the spin room because you're there to spin. So he's sending surrogates to the spin room. I don't think that you should be allowed to send surrogates to the spin room if you're not going to participate in the debate. And that goes for anybody. Furthermore, why in the hell is Romney McDaniel allowing this? Run the RNC. Will you run the damn thing, please?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so a fish is blamed for destroying a transformer and causing a power outage in New Jersey. A fish. So it was a fish that was carried by a bird. This is some butterfly effect kind of stuff. So police said that while they were investigating it, they found a fish on the transformer. This was outside of Sayreville, Jersey Central Power and Light. The officials believe that a bird was carrying the fish as a meal and dropped it on the transformer, thus causing the outage. Next question is, what type of fish was it? I'm just wondering how well this bird's eaten. That's all. Let's see. Oh, man alive. So sometimes, oh gosh, this is so bad. This is in Oklahoma. Their $1 million pickleball court is apparently too small to play. Their Parks and Recreation Department made the pickleball court too small, and they spent $3 million on it. They said it's the biggest mess you've ever seen in your life. It's part of a kids' space park project. They said, okay, so the whole project is like $3 million, but this thing's like super expensive. So they don't know how much it's going to cost taxpayers to now correct the mistake. Who? Okay, so I feel like there's more prep that goes into hanging something on the wall of my house than there is with there they had with making this pickleball court.
This is how government spends our money.
Well,
an example.
I mean, and it was in it's Shawnee. This is literally like a Park and Rec episode. That's what's so funny. It's just it sounds just like that. Addiction apparently affects 2/3 of Americans, according to a new survey, as reported by UPI. Millions of Americans addicted to drugs or alcohol. Hey, guess what? It surged over lockdown. I know you're really surprised about all that, right? It's the it's a new methodology. It's something that was formerly called the Kaiser Family Foundation, but they said it's not isolated. It's impacting a majority of Americans, and it did obviously kick off. I mean, they said 19% of people say that they themselves have been addicted to drugs or alcohol. They surveyed like millions of people. That's crazy. But yeah, it did actually balloon during lockdown because, well, I mean, you just made people desperate and you took away their ability to generate income. The bee-eating cousin of the murder hornet was found in Georgia. It is a yellow-legged hornet, and it's not supposed to be in the United States. It is a species of predatory hornet that feeds on honeybees. I want to murder all of them because honeybees, we need honeybees. I want to murder this hornet. It feeds on honeybees and other insects. It's been found in southeast Georgia for the first time, and they're worried about the proliferation. They don't even know yet how extensive it is in Georgia or beyond, but they're warning that the arrival could pose a major threat to bees. Is there a way to engineer an insect to fight those and protect the honeybees? Is there a way? Can we get a bunch of like little drone robot little insects to just go and have a war? Oh my gosh. This would be a very dark, like, children's movie, wouldn't it? A very dark children's movie. It's a yellow-legged hornet. It's actually native to tropical regions of Southeast Asia. It's called the Vespa velutina. That's what its name is. And, you know, anyway, so just so you know. They were found by a beekeeper in Savannah. Oh, they haven't yet found a colony. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
I want to bookmark this audio here. This is all, I'm going to set it up. This is clip 12. I just want to keep this for forever in the keep all Tupper or Rubbermaid box we got because I feel like this is going to come back. Representative Jerry Connolly. Now, remember what we talked about earlier in the first hour, right? If you missed it, we talked about Robert L. Peters. Joe Biden apparently created a fake name called Robert L. Peters to discuss, you know, just the commercial stuff. Because I, too, who among us has not created a fake name to talk about the weather? I mean, come on. Listen to this, though, because this representative Democrat is saying he's defending Biden. He's like, there's just nothing there. He's like a Baghdad Bob.
They've done a pitiful job of trying to make any case that something untoward has happened and that somebody needs to be impeached or held accountable like the president of the United States. There is zero evidence linking President Biden personally to anything. And there's zero evidence of political interference.
Zero evidence of anything. And you know this how? How?
You mispronounced Robert Peters, though.
Yeah. Robert L. Peters. You know what? Why isn't any reporters yelled out at Biden? Sir, can you tell us about Robert L. Peters? Hi, sir. Do you know Robert L. Peters? I just want to see if it trips him up. Because he'd probably go, that's me. You know he would. That's what? That's me. I'm Robert L. Peters. Damn it, Joe. Just wondering, you know, I just wondering. I feel like that's a question that they should ask. That is he's going to be in Lake Tahoe until he goes to Maui on Monday, correct?
I believe so.
So keep him away from all reporters. Oh, he's on vacation again. They have kept this barely functioning geezer on vacation the entire to keep him away from anything. Anytime something breaks, notice how he goes on vacation. Because he can't be trusted to actually answer competently on any question regarding it. He can't answer anything. That seems problematic. I don't know how he's, honestly, I see him, I think he's gotten worse since he's been in office. Don't you think so? I'm not a doctor, but I'll tell you what I see because we have eyes, right? I mean, we can see things. We can hear. His voice sounds weak. He's like barely aware. It's just every single time he's in front of the press, it's worse and worse. By the audio soundbite six, he literally said this on the anniversary of our disaster in Afghanistan. Listen to this.
I've said 1,000 times, 1,000 times, there is no quit in America. Name me a single objective we've ever set out to accomplish that we've failed on. Name me one in all of our history.
Do we have time left in the show?
Unfortunately, no.
I mean, we've got all kinds of time. But on the literally the observance of the anniversary of the disaster in Afghanistan, he says this. I don't know. It's rough. This is rough. And then he does audio soundbite eight. He does this. Like this was his part of his speech on the Biden. Why does he think that this works? The whisper. Listen.
The Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal initially called my plan Bidenomics. I'm not sure they meant it in a totally complimentary way at the time. But guess what? It's working.
Why does he do that?
How is it working?
People are paying $709 extra a year because of Bidenomics, which is exactly $700 what you want to just like one off to people in Maui from in Lahaina. Good heavens. I don't know. The whole thing is just is mind-boggling. So he's on vacation in Lake Tahoe. And then I guess he's going to go to, they're going to, what, get him off, get a vitamin drip, maybe inject him with steroids. I don't know. Give him some damn Hunter's Coke at this point. See what, maybe, I mean, there's, I don't know what else left you can do. Give him some cocaine. And then they're going to wind him up and send him off to Maui. And that's going to probably be a disaster. But that's his Katrina. And notice how none of the other Democrats are really talking about it. It's not just him who's not talking about it. Where are all the Democrats? Where are all of the Democrats at saying anything about it? Have we heard anything else from Mazie Hirono? Or what did she call him? Brian Schatz? KJP? Yes, it's Brian Schatz, but that's not what she said. Got to tell her. Corrine, it's past tense for... I didn't say it.
Thank you.
I thought it, but I didn't say it. So I haven't heard anything else from them. I haven't heard anything else about Chuck Schumer except, this audio soundbite three. This is all, I mean, you Senate leader, but not really on, not saying anything about Maui. But here he is on the Inflation Reduction Act, pushing Bidenomics.
These investigations, they don't matter to the average American people. This is the right wing, the hard right wing talking to each other. Let them keep talking to each other. We're talking to
talking
the American
to themselves.
People.
Well, he was supposed to say when it comes to the Inflation Reduction Act, it's as great as it has been. The best is yet to come is what he said. And I don't know what that was. But that was the soundbite. Yeah, you have that. Yeah, because this is this a threat? Listen.
As great as it has been, the best is yet to come.
So we're going to get broker? Are people going to get poorer?
Apparently.
I'm curious. Huh?
Apparently.
I mean, I don't know how much more money people have to lose at this point. I mean, good grief. Not working. Not at all. A couple of other things to hit. I didn't get to this. Tuesday? I want to make sure that I do. You guys, it is a true story. So the Ukrainian military, they have a trans person. When I first saw this, can I just be honest? I actually thought that it was, what's his face in a wig? I thought it was Zelensky in a wig because there's a similar look there. So a transsexual from the USA has been appointed as the foreign language spokesperson of the territorial forces of the Ukrainian armed forces. A man calling himself Saren Ashton Cirillo has served as, I guess, a field medic and then a war reporter for the Portal Alphabet communities. And this, let's see here. Now he's been appointed as foreign language spokesperson for the Territorial Army. What is there a special reporting for the alphabet communities? Like, what does that do? Is it different? Why? They've been defended by Ukrainian deputy defense minister, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Then it becomes a distraction for the thing, for the whole purpose. It becomes a distraction for, I guess, their stated intended purpose. I did think it was Zelensky. I thought it was a joke. Well, because doesn't he do that stuff?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see this. I got a couple of other things touch on here, because that was one thing I didn't get to Tuesday. This could be coming to the U.S. I wouldn't be surprised. This started in the U.K. It's this woman. Her name is Teresa Steele. And she was dropped from getting a life-saving surgery because she objected to the trans nurse who showed up to take care of her. She had, because hers was a very, it sounded like, I don't know what kind of surgery she had. She didn't get into it, but it sounded as though it was a major abdominal surgery, and it sounded like she had like cancerous, or she had to have a hysterectomy or something. And it sounds like it was very, very invasive, and it sounded like she was dealing with cancer, and because she said that she had to have intimate care. So basically she was trying to be very ladylike and saying her nether regions. Okay. So she's in, I'm setting that up because it all comes into play here. So she's in the hospital. She's going and she was getting evaluated and she was in the hospital treatment room. She was undergoing these pre-operation assessments. They said that they were doing intimate swabs, all of this. And then there was a nurse who came in who had nothing to do with her care. And she said the first thing that stuck out to her was that the red lipstick, and that it was clearly a dude in super heavy makeup and a blonde wig. And here she is, you know, full glory on display, doing this assessment, and this man dressed up as a woman comes in. And he spoke because she said the one nurse said, indicated the room was occupied, and the man said, "Oh, sorry," and lingered a little bit and then left. And she said she found it very odd and disconcerting. And what ended up happening is the hospital that was involved in her care, it was called the Princess Grace Hospital in London. She had apparently said something about that. Like when she was filling out some paperwork, she had added, "I want to make sure that I have female nurses attending me," because she's going through, you know, she's going through hell. And I think it's ridiculous that you even have to justify why you're asking that. And she says that she was punished for asking that, and the hospital accused her of discrimination against the nurse. It did apologize, finally, because it admitted that what happened was a breach of her privacy, because apparently it got out. She said that she had wanted same-sex care, and that her operation was canceled. And so it was, she said it was a robotic suite, blah, 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 open surgery suite. She says that apparently they had to just leave the room empty. She said it was just canceled. And there were mass demonstrations by people who were shocked. She had to wait and try to find a way to get surgery elsewhere. And in the meantime, her weight plummeted. She was in intense pain. She had to be rushed to emergency. And then because she had been dropped and had been forced to wait by that hospital, there was a complication that came in as a specific result of her having been de-hospitaled and forced to wait simply because she asked for same-sex care after that man walked in on her. I feel like without stopping this whole train that's coming, this is where it gets into. So she's like looking at legal action. There were tons of people who were protesting on her behalf. And I mean, the waiting almost killed her. It extended her recovery period by months because it got so bad that it presented a complication for her. At what point? So the way that I'm getting it is that they were prioritizing the feelings of the man pretending to be a woman over the actual damn woman who needed she needed care because she had a life-threatening condition. This isn't about, that's not about equality. That's about punishment. I mean, they were going to make her literally a sacrifice to this guy. That is unbelievable. And apparently there are even fewer protections in the UK against this stuff than in the United States. But it does feel like it's coming because weren't they already doing this, Kane, with like COVID stuff? If you didn't get the clot shot, then you were going to. Yeah, that's kind of, I know.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
And make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse. Yesterday, as you know, we dropped my younger son over at college. He was dropped off at college and he's ready. He's so ready. I may not necessarily be ready, but he's ready. And if you read the piece that I sent out to you last night, it's very, very weird, the role of a parent, because it's a great paradox. You orient your entire life around these, you know, little people that you create and that you raise. And then when your parental purpose, I mean, it's rendered only when it's rendered kind of, you know, pretty much obsolete in most ways. I realize you always need a parent, but when your purpose is rendered mostly obsolete, can they be truly considered successfully raised? It's just weird. It's a weird thing. It's a very rich and heart-wrenching and painful process. And you always alternate between wondering if you are a completely embarrassing, overprotective clown, or if you're just a horrible absentee parent. There's literally no gray area. It's one or the other. There's no gray area. There's no, I think I did pretty good. No, it's like always one or the other. So I knew that he was going to be okay, because when he was packing his stuff up, because I am notoriously type A when it comes to a lot of things. And I walked into his room and I have like my clipboard ready to rock. You know, I had my, you know, packing clipboard. I was ready to go. And he already had a digital list. And he just kind of looked up and I relaxed. I was like, okay, he's got this. But he's a hysterical kid and he's a young man. He's going to do very well. And I said before, he always kind of looked disdainfully somewhat at college. But, you know, he got scholarships and he's like, I'm going to take advantage of it. You know, if you're going to give me this, I'm going to take advantage of it and do it. So I'm confident he's ready. He's the rock against which bad ideology will break. The kid's immovable. So for all you parents out there sending your kids to school, God love you. All right. Today's stupidity came.
All right. It is Nancy Pelosi. She's out there bragging about Bidenomics. Like, I think the talking points went out because we're seeing that a lot here over the last day or two. And here's what she says. She's thanking the president for all of this.
We all want to thank the president for making all the difference in the world.
Oh, well, there's a difference.
With
all
right. An agenda of diversity, inclusion, innovation, and justice, always for the children.
Always for the children.
It's for the children, though. All right, folks, that does it for us tonight. Tomorrow, our friend John Rich is going to join us because his awesome new song, I'm Offended, which is actually, it's a very good song, is out. We're going to talk to him. So God bless. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.